WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Get set for another explosive day at former President Donald Trump's hush money trial.
I think that Michael Cohen's testimony will be fire and brimstone.
CBS News legal contributor Ricky Kleeman, as Mr. Trump's former fixer, prepares to take the stand and detail the transaction at the heart of the case. Correspondent Naomi Ruckum.
Cohen is expected to lay out his account that he paid adult film star Stormy Daniels $130,000 to hide an alleged past sexual encounter with Trump ahead of the 2016 election. Trump faces charges of falsifying business records to cover up his reimbursement to Cohen.
Jury selection expected to begin today at New Jersey Democrat Robert Menendez's corruption trial. The 70-year-old faces charges in a bribery conspiracy case that could affect his reelection prospects and help determine which party controls the Senate next year. Menendez's wife has also been charged. She will be tried separately. Israel is pushing deeper into southern Gaza, despite U.S. warnings against a full-scale invasion of Rafah. CBS's Cammy McCormick.
In Israel today, there was a two-minute standstill as a siren marked Memorial Day. In southern Gaza, Palestinians gathered to frantically stock up on water ahead of what may be an Israeli invasion. The UN estimates more than 350,000 people have fled Rafah so far. Secretary of State Blinken says the U.S. has still seen no credible Israeli plan to protect civilians there.
At Duke University. Pro-Palestinian graduates booing commencement speaker Jerry Seinfeld, who hasn't been shy about his staunch support for Israel. Dozens of grads left their seats. Others at Emerson in Boston erupted into chants during their ceremony. Crews at the site of the collapsed Key Bridge in Baltimore are set to blow up a large portion of the remains tonight in order to free the cargo ship that triggered the disaster. Correspondent Chris Van Cleve.
They estimate it weighs between 3,000 and 4,000 tons. That's a problem because the strongest crane on the East Coast that's out there that's floating, it can only lift about 1,000 tons. So they need to break that truss into pieces. They'll use explosives to do it.
Employees at an Apple store in Towson, Maryland have voted to walk out. CBS's Matt Piper.
Workers say they're seeking changes in what they call unpredictable scheduling practices and wages that align with the local cost of living. No date has been set for the strike.
S&P futures up 7. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Environmentalists are in court fighting the Department of Natural Resources over a big factory farm in central Wisconsin. Adam Voskel is with Midwest Environmental Advocates. He says the DNR should have allowed public input on the CAFO's wastewater permit.
We're seeing concerns over CAFOs in western Wisconsin, too, where there have been significant spills and fish kills.
The DNR has a month to respond. The Wisconsin State Patrol is urging drivers and bicyclists to be aware of their surroundings, to share the road, and keep everyone safe. The State Patrol highlights bicycle safety each May. Bicycles are considered vehicles in Wisconsin with the same rights and responsibilities. Last year, 7 bicyclists were killed in crashes in Wisconsin and 699 people were injured. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
It's the Brewers and the Pirates tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a 3-game home series against the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight in Milwaukee. Yesterday, the crew losing to the Cardinals 4-3, missing out on a chance to complete a 4-game sweep. The Cards able to snap a 7-game losing streak thanks to a much-needed home run by veteran Paul Goldschmidt, who has 1-for-34 so far this month. Manager Pat Murphy.
It's hard to beat a major league team 4 times. Any of these 30 major league teams, it's hard to beat them. The day that Goldie breaks out a little bit, hurts us. Koenig did the job we asked him to do, but you got to have more than that. you know, to beat a major league team on any given day.
College basketball, Sundance Wicks is one and done. A year ago, Wicks was an assistant coach at Wyoming, hired by UW Green Bay in his first head coaching job. He turned the program around, winning 15 more games. Over the weekend, Wicks met with Wyoming and emerged as their new men's head basketball coach. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Weather is sponsored by Peck Roofing, Inc., veteran and locally owned and operated. Learn more online at peckroofinginc.com.
Partly cloudy today, our high right around 70 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly clear, will drop down to 44. Tomorrow, sunny, 69 on Wednesday. Partly cloudy with a high near 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
Crude and Dom. Dominic is in Europe on the holiday road, but you can hear some of the greatest radio shows ever in his absence. Tune in all week long.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wild.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Back at 7:06 on a Monday morning, May 13th, 2024. Nice to have you along here for Up North News Radio. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media, but we are so happy to be partnered with them for 2 hours every weekday morning from 6 to 8. Glad you're along as well. Corrine Hendrickson will join us from New Glarus coming up at the bottom of the hour to talk about today's Day Without Child Care, a day meant to call attention to the ongoing crisis in affordable child care and being able to pay above poverty wages to the wonderful people who take care of our kids while others care to enter the labor force. You can get the daily newsletter from Up North News by heading over to upnorthnewswi.com. In today's newsletter, Christina Lurie writes that it's American Craft Beer Week, and so she shares the Yelp list of the best breweries in every state, including Wisconsin. It's also World Migratory Bird Day, and so she's going to talk about the migratory birds that pass through Wisconsin, and also a link to Selena Heller's story about electric school buses being in use in many more Wisconsin school districts because of the bipartisan infrastructure law. And, you know, an emphasis on turning toward cleaner, greener, renewable sources of energy. So Selena will tell us what she's working on this week in just a bit. But first, coming up on 7:08 here, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins us to talk about the forecast. It's a very hazy morning here on Lake Wissota. Maybe the early wave of smoke from Canadian wildfires. Maybe that's what has me wondering if this whole Northern Lights thing is some kind of an urban legend. But
Brittany, don't engage him.
You saw it. You saw it, Brittany.
He's engaging me. Mm-hmm. Greg, you know he is.
Did you see these alleged Northern Lights?
I saw them, and it was magical. I saw them both with the naked eye.
Agree to disagree. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Pat, tell us more why you think the Earth is flat, too.
Yes.
Anyway, Brittany, for whether you saw them or not, what's the weather like today?
Yeah, so we're going to have a beautiful day, especially if further north you live throughout the state. If you live south, though, you are going to see cloudy skies for all today and showers and thunderstorms as well. Anywhere from a half an inch to an inch of rainfall is possible in the southern parts of the state. But up north, mostly sunny and upper 60s. Further down to the south, we'll hit the low to mid 70s, and we even cool down more tomorrow as winds get breezy out of the northeast. But yes, some of that wildfire smoke is moved into the state that started yesterday. For sensitive group levels, that's where it's at right now. It's nothing too crazy like last year at the moment, but it is moving in from Canada, so I expect it to be here again tomorrow too, as those winds are out of the northeast. But those auroras, I just can't even. They were amazing. Every direction that I looked, Pat, I could see them. I looked south, I could see them. I looked up, literally up. They were converging above me. It was amazing. I wish you could have seen it because I know my mom agrees with you. She's like, these things aren't real. Well, where are they?
And when you talked about, you know, people who are sensitive, you know, you meant the allergies and the respiratory, not sensitive to being kidded about not being able to see the northern lights. Some of us are sensitive.
You really brought this on yourself, though, Pat. I got to say, I mean, really, you could have just been like, oh, that sucks. I didn't see it. But no, you got to be like, and then the government got involved.
And then. I'm guessing it was just a bunch of people who like hummus. You know, as long as let's just tie all the things together that
they're fine
Pat's
by
been
me.
Grousing about this morning. Like that. But the, you know, the we're not going to be as warm though the rest of the week as yesterday with when we were getting to the lower 80s.
Yeah, no more 80s. That was perfect though for Mother's Day, I must say. Oh my gosh. No, we could actually see some frost potential both tonight and tomorrow night far north in the state. So keep that in mind if you did any gardening over Mother's Day weekend, which I saw a ton of people out there doing. Which you should have. Just keep in mind that up north, we could see some more frost.
And whether we get frost or not, that doesn't play any role in people who have spring allergies with the pollen and everything. It just has to run its course, right? There's nothing that really helps or hurts.
I heard local honey helps. I don't know, but otherwise, take those allergy meds and power through it.
There is some data that supports that. Because of the pollens in local honey.
I would try anything to, I mean, Sherry just, it hits her so hard. And I would love to be able to pass along some news or a remedy or something. So thank you for the tip on local honey. We'll give that a go if that's what it takes. So thanks, Brittany. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye.
All right. Kristen Lyerly is with us, as well as Selena Heller, Greg Bach in Waukesha. And, we forgot that Rob from Tigerton checks in. As always, smoky sunshine there and 52 degrees in Tigerton. From Rob, who spent Saturday night at the Shawano ER after being stung by a bee while mowing a lawn and his arm swelled up. Doing better after a day of rest. We mentioned that yesterday Steve Winwood turned 76. And Rob had some good memories of Back in the High Life as a top song when he graduated from high school. Rob, thank you for checking in. And if any of the rest of you would like to do the same, you can comment on any of the Facebook pages where we run our live video version of this radio show. Or call or text us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. So Selena is going to be telling us in a bit about one of the stories that she's working on that deals with medical debt. We've had a bit of a focus on that at Up North News for the past couple of weeks here. But Selena sent me a note saying the other story that she wanted to talk about today that she's working on is about the Northern Lights. So sure, Selena, dazzle me with whatever it is you think you're about to report on.
Not everybody's talking about the Northern Lights and how beautiful they were. Come on.
Hey, Selena, did you believe it had happened?
We always, when there's a chance of Northern Lights, we Emery's all about it. We wake up, we get up, and we drive out wherever we think, you know, might be a chance to see it. And she's like, let's, and if we don't see, if it's a bust, you know, we go back to bed. And she's like, can we get up at like 3 a.m. and try again? So I said, like Friday night, we went out and she had a dance recital the next day. And I was like, you're going to be tired for dance. She's like, I don't care. We packed cookies. We packed little drinks. And we said, we're going to see him this time.
Do you know that you sound exactly like Linus waiting for the Great Pumpkin? You get that, right? If you're sincere, you will see these Northern Lights.
You know, Pat, you've officially crossed into this world.
And guess where we went to see him?
Where did you see him?
Pat's house.
Like the soda.
Well, that brought it full circle. So here comes 46 minutes of dead air because we can't top that for the rest of the program. Bye, everybody. Lake with soda.
That's where we drove.
So there we were Friday night looking straight up, not north, but straight up like they told us to. And we'd seen some of the kind of like ribbons across the sky of you know, the effect. And we thought, this is going to be so great in an hour or two or three. And, you know, we both woke up at certain times during the night and like just didn't Didn't see the thing. But we also have, you know, we have a lot of tall trees in our yard. So that it does kind of block the view up north. But as we're looking, you would think you would see something.
Our whole drive there, we're looking out the window like, and I'm trying to drive and get to Lake Wisota.
Wow. So now I'm expecting now a knock on my door at like 2 or 3 a.m. and it's going to be my eye doctor, you know, showing up with a chart saying, this seems like a good time to check out how you're doing here.
Maybe did you hold your phone up? That helps to make them more visible.
I did understand that people were saying with their phones or camera phones, they really captured the colors, especially with the long exposures. And I'm like, well, yeah, with a long exposure, you know, obviously everything looks a little bit better than it did to my clearly failing eyes. So in a moment here, you're going to talk about medical debt. Kristen, do you want to hang around for that or do you got to go? And we'll ask you now about how bad an issue medical debt is for your patient load.
Oh, I would love to hang around and hear Selena's take on it, because we know that medical debt is the reason that 2/3 of bankruptcies in this country occur. This is a huge problem.
Which makes no sense. It makes no sense that we have people going bankrupt because they, an accident, an injury, an illness, things that were not of their doing. This is not normal. It doesn't happen in other countries. So we'll hear from Selena more about her work on that in just a moment here. First at 7:16, I wanted to share a note from one of our listeners pointed out that the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign is going to be holding a statewide tour of news conferences today, including in Eau Claire at noon on Farwell Street, Madison at 9 a.m. Near the Capitol, Milwaukee at 10:30 on Fond du Lac Avenue, Green Bay on Jefferson Street at noon, Wausau on Grant Street at noon. In all cases, the title is called Our Vote, Our Ballot Box, no doubt timed for today's state Supreme Court arguments about absentee ballot drop boxes and whether, you know, they can be used once again in Wisconsin. The conservative-led state Supreme Court decided that they were illegal after Donald Trump objected to them. It's possible that now that the court is controlled by progressive judges, that ruling may be reversed. So arguments are coming up on that today. A little sports now at 7:17. There was talk of a potential Brewers sweep against the St. Louis Cardinals. It was not to be. The Cardinals did rally to beat the Brewers 4-3 yesterday. It snapped the Cardinals' 7-game losing streak. The Cardinals had also lost 8 in a row to the Brewers dating back to last season. That was the longest winning streak by either team in the history of their rivalry. The Brewers scored their 3 runs in the first inning. Then the bats cooled off after that. It's just been weird to see the Cardinals slumping. I mean, their veteran slugger, Paul Goldschmidt, had gone 1-for-34 in the month of May until he led off the 5th inning with a home run. And it was only his 3rd home run of the season. But your first place Milwaukee Brewers still lead the Central Division by 0.5 game over the Cubs, and they stay home to start a 3-game series with the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight, tomorrow night, and Wednesday afternoon. Colin Ray on the mound. Pregame starts at 6:05 on Civic Media radio stations in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh, and Park Falls. All right, back with Selena, Kristen Lyerly, Greg Bach. We'll talk about medical debt first, and then we'll get set for Corrine Hendrickson to join us to talk about a day without child care. Live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network, this is Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WISC Caregiver Careers makes it easy with free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WiscCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah,
That was a lot better than the original person.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know, now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's tugging on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight across the Civic Media Radio Network.
93.5 The Tap.
Seventy-fourth birthday today. Still to come, Civic Media News Director Terry Bell with three things you need to know to start the week, coming up a half hour from now. Medical debt is still a thing for Americans. Tens of millions of Americans facing hundreds of billions of dollars in healthcare costs. And it's not like it doesn't affect all the rest of us. We all pay for that in higher medical bills, in higher premiums. There are ways that so many other countries have figured this out, but in our quest to keep the profit alive in the healthcare industry, we have this thing called medical debt. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who's also a candidate for Congress, joins us. Selena Heller, Up North News reporter, is here as well. Selena, you talked to a leading state legislator who's been among the many looking for ways to fight medical debt, at least on the state level in Wisconsin. Tell us more about that.
Oh, right. There's been so many over the years. And last year, there was a Healthy Wisconsin legislation that a bunch of lawmakers tried to get into play, but it didn't work out this last session. So Representative Daniel Reamer is from Milwaukee, and he was inaugurated in 2013. And he has been trying every session to try to get something going and any bills passed that have to do with Medicaid expansion. And of course, we know here in Wisconsin that is called Badger Care for us. And so there are dollars from the Affordable Care Act that states can pick up to expand their Medicaid coverage to a lot more people. And that's what he's been kind of focused on all of these years, trying to introduce things six times in all of these sessions, and he's not running again, so he doesn't want to give up, and this is kind of was his last kind of I still want to talk about it and I'm still going to be involved, but it's kind of been a frustrating time because this is going to help out, this would potentially help out 90,000 more people that could have Badger Care. So here is Representative Daniel Reamer.
The point is to get this done so that people who don't have health insurance have it, and so they can avoid calamitous medical debt and make sure they get back to work sooner, don't have to sell their home or do something more drastic even to try to figure out how to get out of medical debt. You want people to have a future, and that means physical health and financial health. So those are the people that are well served by this, and the rest of us are well served by it because we all are better off when people are healthy and people are financially secure.
So the Wisconsin Hospital Association says that overall in 2021, the last year they have figures for, uncompensated care came to $1.3 billion. And then there was another $1.3 billion in charity care. Let me say that again. In 2021, it was $1.3 billion. In 2022, it was a little bit more than $1.3 billion. And in both cases, charity care accounted for about $500 million worth of that. And then the rest was uncompensated care, medical bills that didn't get paid. Whatever form it takes, Kristen, it is, again, something that is impacting the choices that people make. You outline choices for them, but then they have to make choices whether to listen to you or not based on their wallets.
Assuming that they can even make it to see me, right? That they have the resources to even engage with a physician or a healthcare provider. You know, I'll say it again, 2/3 of bankruptcies in this country are related to a health crisis, inability to pay for the care that you need. That is ridiculous. With the wealth that we have in this country, we have the most expensive healthcare in the civilized world. And frankly, the worst outcomes, not by a little, but by a lot, especially when it comes to moms and babies. It doesn't make any sense. And there are so many things that we can do, not create a pregnancy registry, but yes, expand Medicaid and do so many other things to support people, families, to support health before it becomes a crisis.
And I feel bad for Representative Reamer because he came in just shortly after Republicans took over and gerrymandered the maps. And so they have been, Republicans have been in the majority for his entire, what will be 12 years in the legislature before he, you know, walks away. But Selena, did he have more to say as far as, you know, why he continues to advocate for this or other things about the issue?
Well, of course. And when I called him and he said, well, you know, I'm going to be done, but I feel so strongly about this. And of course, I wanted any chance I can get. I want to talk about it. And it's just so frustrating. He said it gets on Robin Voss's desk. And he says, then that's it. And he says, you know, he has said that he will never take up such an action. But he's still going to, you know, keep trying because it's such an important issue to, like he said, just help a whole nother group of people who can't necessarily, or they don't. This is what he said. He said, you know, these people, this group of people, they're parents and they're working, but they don't have anybody to advocate for them. So he's going to continue to try because it's this group of people that they just have busy lives just like everybody else. And they want to spend time with their families instead of doing all of this business. So that's why he's going to always continue to advocate for this group of people and continue on this message of this is so important for Wisconsin to take this up like so many other states have. Wisconsin is only one of 10 states that haven't.
Exactly. And again, much like the child care issue that we've talked about, medical debt, these are things that get in the way of having, for folks who are much more, you know, oriented on business and the economy and everything, these are things that are impeding progress on mm-hmm. corporate profitability. It's not just that it's not just feel good, you know, woke agenda, whatever, you know, political phrase you want to use. These things are good for business as well. Kristen, before you have to go, again, we've talked about the medical debt, but before we get to Corrine Hendrickson on the child care crisis, you too hear from your patients, you know, that yes, they're expecting a baby, but they may have small children already with them. And I'm guessing a lot of times have to bring them to the appointments because they don't have options.
Yeah. Childcare is hard to find. I had a hard time finding childcare. I had four kids when I was in residency and it was always a scramble between au pairs and nannies and childcare centers. And how do you do it and how do you pay for it? Most of my debt from medical school actually comes from paying for childcare and they were worth it. But, you know, it shouldn't be this way. If we are really, truly supporting families, we need to support childcare providers. We need to support families who are seeking childcare. It's really that simple.
We got to give Greg the last word on this because of the stat that he just found. We've talked a lot about Wisconsin being one of only 10 states now that still has not expanded Medicaid or Badger Care. In fact, during the pandemic, because of pandemic relief, Medicaid was expanded to many more Americans temporarily, but then that aid ran out. And some states have actually been actively disenrolling people from Medicaid. What was the little factoid you found here, Greg?
It said that the 10 states that have not expanded Medicare are Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Kansas, Mississippi, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Wisconsin, and Wyoming. And we have all those states have disenrolled more children and youth than the 40 states and the District of Columbia combined.
Wow. Disenrolled.
I'm sorry. And they have expanded their Medicaid and we have disenrolled children.
Sorry, kids.
Yeah. I mean, they've got elections to win. You know, they got to prove they're tough on something, somebody. I don't know. Kristen, thank you as always for keeping up the good fight. Have a great week. We'll talk to you a little later.
Thanks. Love hanging out with you guys.
All right. Selena, thank you so much, too. Have a great start to the week.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Corrine Hendrickson, when we come back on A Day Without Childcare, that's next. You're up north.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Wisconsin's mild winter and warmer than expected spring getting a jump start on asparagus. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. 24 acres ready to pick in Adams, Wisconsin. That story on the way.
Over time, you want to work less of it, so you need your crop protection to work more of it. When you add Tapran or Last Chance Pro adjuvants from CHS, they will. Designed for maximum efficacy, Last Chance Pro improves the uptake and translocation of herbicides, while Tapran helps activate herbicides for better performance against tough-to-control weeds. Ask your local CHS retailer how Tapran and Last Chance Pro adjuvants can put your crop protection to work.
Nathan Bula is a busy man these days. He's the owner and operator of Spears R Us off County Road E in Adams, Wisconsin, and all 24 acres of his harvestable asparagus ready to go.
So the asparagus season, you know, this year being earlier than it's ever been, we're looking forward to still going until the end of June, but we have to listen to our asparagus, and when it tells us it's getting stressed out for the year is when we'll be done harvesting. So we're hoping at least Father's Day and maybe more. So we harvested last year in 2023. We started harvesting May 10th. This year we started harvesting May 3rd, and we have been doing roughly average of 2,000 pounds every day.
That's busy Nathan Bula, owner and operator of Spears R Us Asparagus Farm in Adams, Wisconsin. And you heard correctly, harvesting about 2,000 pounds of asparagus every day. He said they use an easy pick harvester with technology that allows them to ride on a little cart that you control with your feet so you can move through a field and harvest those spears seamlessly.
Grounded from Helena is a powerful adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. All to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
And congratulations to some of the strong women leaders in Wisconsin agriculture recognized during the Association of Women in Agriculture's Spring Banquet. They include Jill Armbruster picking up the Founders Award, Tammy Vossen from the Wisconsin Beef Council named the Outstanding Woman in Agriculture, and Katie Katzman awarded the Outstanding Alumni Award. Want to find out more about the AWA winners? Pop on over to our website, MidwestFarmReport.com, or sign up for our daily e-newsletter at the same place, and you'll never miss a thing. I'm Farm Director PM Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy today, our high right around 70 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly clear, we'll drop down to 44. Tomorrow, sunny, 69 on Wednesday. Partly cloudy with a high near 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
The Todd Alba Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah. It's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? We actually had one person text during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
So I have super parallel parking skills. And on the east side where I live, I will often sit on my front porch and like a play-by-play call as if it was a sport. Parallel parking to me is a sport. I'm the Stephen A. Smith of parallel parking. That should go on a t-shirt.
We'll get you one made.
Oh my gosh.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
Welcome back to Up North News Radio at 7:34 on this Monday morning, and I'm very happy to be talking again to Corrine Hendrickson, who is working with a group, Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed, or WECAN. She is a child care provider, along with many others who are going through, well, she's a child care provider, so I'm not supposed to use bad language, but they're going through hell, basically, and putting up with politicians who do not understand or respect the crisis in child care right now, and are again calling for action, which is why we have what's called a Day Without Child Care, to try to bring attention to this long ongoing problem. Corrine Hendrickson, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you for all that you're doing. We appreciate it so much. There are still people that think that this is a relatively new crisis, that it somehow came from the pandemic, that it's somehow related to pandemic relief that went away, like that was some kind of an extra goodie that you still want to hold on to. But Corrine, set us straight on just how long-term the problem has been about equitable access to childcare for the parents and for the providers.
Always is the answer to that question. In the 40s, during World War II, there was a big need to have moms go to work. And so there was an entire national system that was created that was taken away as soon as, you know, the men came back. But then after that, the women started organizing and pushing for it. And in 1972, Richard Nixon vetoed universal child care. So this is something that we've been working on and working towards for a very, very long time. And it really is because it's an economic, you know, hardship for people who cannot work and then pay their bills if they don't have child care. And these tiny humans are here. So obviously, we keep making it work and muddling through because you have a human life that is, you know, that would no longer benefit from, you know, being around another adult. They probably wouldn't survive, to be perfectly honest. And so it's one of those things that women have always stepped up and always done what we can to make it work, no matter what it does to our mental health, no matter what it does to our family finances. And so we are really trying hard to remind people that the pandemic revealed the issues that were happening, and it just exacerbated those problems. And that, yes, the funding came through, but that was because that was the opportunity that our federal lawmakers took in order to prove that putting all this money into it would actually help create a system that works for more people.
It really, I mean, not to make it an entire sociological discussion here, but it really does come down to the notion of whether our elected officials do or do not support the fact that some families require two working parents based on incomes, or that the ones with single parents also rely on aid if we want our children to be educated, if we want, you know, a workforce that is productive. And yet, Corrine, one of the things that still sticks with me are people in our legislature and in our Congress that are almost actively rooting for more moms to get out of the workforce and stay home. And that seems to be, I mean, that's not supposed to be their call to make.
No, definitely not. And it's sort of counterintuitive because it's those same lawmakers that want people to be able to have that individual, independent opportunities. And, you know, you make what you want out of your life because, you know, of all the hard work and perseverance that you put into it. But yet they put up all these barriers, and yet they want to decide that women should stay home. And we have been told, and it's been insinuated in multiple hearings, that women should just stay home with their young children. And then we say, well, what about those employers who want and need employees? Or why should the woman not have a choice? Why are we choosing for her? And one of the things that's happening is our birth rate is amongst the lowest in the country and is going down. And it's because women are choosing not to have children. And it's not because they don't necessarily want them. It's because they know they can't afford them. They can't put the time in that they would want to. And they do also want both. Why can't we, you know, participate? And what sorts of things are we missing out on because people can't work? Like, what opportunities, what ingenuities and inventions and all these things because somebody's at home with a child? And, you know, moms want to be home with their kids, but it is not something that everybody's cut out to do 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 hours a week. And again, it goes back to it should be a choice. And our government's job is to make sure that everyone has those opportunities that they want, and for businesses to thrive, communities to thrive, and families to thrive, to be honest.
Is it fair to say that there is just too much of a mindset, especially in political circles, that, well, they're just going to do it anyway because they want to, because they have to? We're talking about providers and we're talking about, you know, moms by and large. And so when you talk about thriving wages for childcare providers, you know, there's still a lot of people who think, well, they'll do it, you know, no matter how low the wages are. And they're going to find out the hard way when enough of these places close their doors that you can't just assume that people will do it out of the goodness of their hearts.
Yeah, and that's exactly what's happening. So before, people did do it because they wanted to be helpful. They wanted to be able to do these things. But the math is even harder and harder to make it work. And we're no longer accepting the fact that we can't retire, that we don't have health insurance, that we can't provide for our own families in the ways that we want to, that we can't take time off. I had a funeral I went to, and I was glad it was on a Saturday because then I could go, because I've missed so many of these. And we have other opportunities, and there are so many different jobs out there. There are so many different careers out there, and we are leaving and we're walking away and we're not coming back. We're still well below pre-COVID numbers of childcare professionals. And that's because we're now bottom 2% of all wage earners. People who walk dogs make more than us. People who do pretty much anything, even tipped jobs, are considered lower than us. But with tips, they make more than we do.
So that takes us to the whole notion of a day without childcare, which for folks who either aren't familiar with it or might say, is that somehow counterproductive because now you're essentially making parents find other arrangements? But the whole point of having this is to call attention to how inconvenient life would be without childcare, right?
Yeah, and in our state, over 100,000 children go days without childcare every day because that's how many slots we're short. And so this day, it's a Community Change Action National Day Without Childcare with the Childcare Changemakers, that's a mouthful, that is being put on across the country, is to really draw attention to the fact that this isn't just a state-by-state issue. This is a national issue. This is something that our culture and our, you know, American can-do independent bootstraps mentality has created. And we really want people to understand that this is a problem already. And this is getting people to start having that conversation, because so many people, us included in the childcare field, are embarrassed about how little we make. So many parents are embarrassed and they feel like it's their fault that they can't find care for their child. Their employers may or may not be understanding of all of these different things. So this is really a way for us to, as a nation, collectively share those stories, talk about it, and talk about how we can and should do things differently. And it doesn't have to be this way.
So, if, for example, there in New Glarus, there will be a third annual gathering at the Village Park from 9 to 11 today. It is designed for child care professionals, parents, business owners, employers, community members, and elected officials to come together and talk about this. We've picked on the politicians already. Let's come to the business owners and employers, the ones who value having employees who also happen to have young children at home. Do you feel like you're making progress on that front with getting support from employers, or is this still a very steep hill to climb?
We're getting there. We're definitely getting the conversations going, and we are being told by many of them that they understand it, and it's affecting their bottom line, to be perfectly honest. And it's also impacting, we're a small community. We know each other. And so they know those employees and those parents, and they understand, and they want to keep them because, again, they're people we see at the grocery store and everywhere we go in town. And so we care about each other and we want to help each other. But there's also a bigger understanding that, yes, a potential Republican solution is an employer tax credit, which is taxpayer money going to employers who therefore then have employee benefits for child care. But they're also understanding that that's going to cost them more than any other simple small tax or payroll tax increase or, you know, using of state funds. And that it's also not going to help build the supply. And so in order for their business to thrive, they need customers. They won't have customers if all these women and men, there's dads too, that have to pull out of the workforce because their income is lower and they can no longer spend money at our small local businesses. So they're understanding it's more of a systemic issue, and that's not something that they as an individual can or should be fixing. But it's now a matter of getting them to talk to the lawmakers and getting them to talk to the people that they donate about how they support investment in childcare, not deregulation, not larger ratios, not 16-year-olds being in charge of a room of one-year-olds. So that's the next piece that we're working on a little bit more, is to try and get those employers more engaged.
Yeah, I'm glad we're getting into the specifics of folks saying, well, what exactly needs to be done? So we've gone through a lot of the Republican responses, by and large, talking about tax credits and, again, the deregulation and just put more kids in per room or lower the age at which some people are taking care of kids. And meanwhile, you've got Governor Evers and you've got primarily Democrats in the legislature proposing what instead that you feel might be much more productive toward addressing this issue.
So what we have right now is the rescue plan funds that came through the federal government into childcare specifically were used to allocate monthly payments to our programs. One part went to operational costs, so like our insurance, which has been sky high, food, mortgages, property taxes, et cetera, and then another part to increase the wages, because that is the core of the crux of the issue. And we were at $10.66 an hour in 2019, and we're up to $13.66 now, and even more now offer pay time off, holidays, some retirement even. And that's all because that funding has come through from the federal government. So the Democrats and Governor Evers have asked for that funding to be used from within the state. Minnesota did it. They put $1 billion in their state budget for that very purpose, along with growing an apprenticeship model, which is a true apprenticeship where we're working with those 16-year-olds in our classrooms to support them in their growth and development, not leaving them alone with them, and doing things like that. So those are the things that we're talking about with Governor Evers, and again, mostly Democrat support. We have several Republicans that will tell us on the side and personally that they agree with it, but they won't vote for it because their voters don't want it. And we have told them, yes, actually, your voters do want it. Over 70% of all voters support investment in childcare, including Republicans. Independents are around 80%, Democrats are around 90%. So this is not, it's not that there isn't political will. There's political will on the behalf of your constituents and voters. It's our representatives that aren't listening, I guess, is the most fair way to say it. So we need to have representatives who are held accountable by their constituents. We need to pay attention, and we need to let them know we are paying attention and that this is why we want you to vote this way and for investments in childcare.
And the apprenticeship I find fascinating, because that sounds like the kind of thing that would get Republican support, because how often we hear about when students aren't achieving well and when there's too many kids left home and they say, well, we need better child rearing, we need better supervision. Well, an apprenticeship program like this for young adults, for teenagers, seems like a natural toward boosting up the skills that they keep saying are so badly needed on the home front.
Well, that's what they said the 16-year-olds of being left alone as lead teachers was, as an apprenticeship. And we said, no, that's not an apprenticeship. That's child labor. You're not apprenticing anyone. An apprenticeship is you as the adult are mentoring them. And also a lot of us, because they don't count in ratio. So that was the conversation. We were saying we can't do them because they don't count in ratio. Their solution was just to have them count in ratio and be left alone. We said, no, they should not be counted in ratio. We need funding. So what Minnesota did is they actually are paying for the apprentice to get their internship money, so it's not coming out of the program. And then they're paying the mentor from the childcare program to be the mentor to help with that cost as well, and to encourage people to take that extra responsibility on.
Actual investment, actual solutions. It's crazy enough. It just might work. Folks can talk more about that at the state capitol this coming Saturday at the top of State Street, the State Street entrance to the capitol, 11:30. They start making signs, buttons, decorate strollers, things like that. There's a rally at 2, a march around the capitol at 4. And folks hanging around can go to the nearby Essen House restaurant at 6 to learn more all about this weekend. Corrine Hendrickson, thank you so much again for what you're doing on behalf of WECAN and child care providers everywhere. It's always great to talk. I hope things go well today at the park and throughout the course of the week. Thanks again.
Yes, thanks. And I hope to see some of your listeners there.
And we'll be back in just a moment. You're up north.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Switching to solar power can be a bright idea for your wallet. Here are three reasons. First, you could save big money on your electric bills. Forbes magazine says an average of $1,500 a year, and over the life of your solar, it's $25,000 to $33,000. Number two, you can take advantage of tax credits to help it get paid for and installed. Now, lots of states like Wisconsin waive property and sales tax on solar, and the federal government recently passed a bunch of new tax benefits too. Those are your tax dollars at work, so let's put them to work for you. And number three, solar panels can boost your home's resale value. Now, if you don't get enough sunlight, it might not pencil out for you, but man, that chance to save $1,500 a year is definitely worth checking out. Okay, folks, that was your Work Money Minute. For more tips like these, go to workmoney.org. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy, saying take good care.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back. It's Monday morning, May 13th, 2024, Up North News Radio. Wrapping up for this Monday with Civic Media News Director Terry Bell, but not before we go to the text line for a note from somebody listening through WLCX. Pat, we live in Wanderoos near Amory. We saw nothing as well. Although 5 miles away, people posted fantastic pics. I feel your pain. I am no longer alone. I feel vindicated that this guy who rails against everybody else's conspiracy theories finally has one of his own. I don't believe it either, but it makes for good radio. Terry, how are you?
I'm great, Pat. How are you?
Did you see the Northern Lights over the weekend?
Yes and no. Some friends of mine and I, we tried. I think Friday night was the best of the two. We went out Saturday night. Nothing to the naked eye to really write home about. A friend of mine did capture a photograph of what we were looking at, and it looked slightly more impressive than what we saw. But it's just a matter, it's, you know, it's luck as much as anything.
Terry, you just could have said yes.
Oh, God. Especially, he said, just got a picture. It was blurry. I think the Loch Ness Monster was emerging from Lake Wasota. From what I can tell, there was a bump there someplace. Anyway. Tomorrow on the program, Hans Breitenmoser will be here. We'll talk about the Farm Bill, which is already more than 6 months late. And Senate Democrats have now come out with their list of things they would like to see in the Farm Bill. Let's just say, compared to the list of things House Republicans want in the Farm Bill, it is not a matchy-matchy situation. So that is tomorrow. Terry Bell has three things you need to know to start the week. We've alluded to one of them already. Big arguments in a case before the Wisconsin Supreme Court today, Terry.
Right. So 2 years ago, the former majority on the Supreme Court ruled that there really wasn't anything in Wisconsin law that allows for ballot drop boxes, say at, fire stations around Wisconsin, where many of them are. What many people argue, on the other hand, is there's nothing in state law that says they're not allowed. So, you know, there was much thinking after Janet Protasiewicz was elected that the new majority might revisit this issue. And certainly they are today and are expect to make a ruling in time for the elections this year. And, you know, the August primary is only 3 months away.
Yes. And look, again, folks with good intentions can go back and forth on this all day long. I'm just going to revert to kind of my base on this whole notion of, well, it's either specifically in the law or it's specifically not. It's kind of, again, the case of the legislature holding on to funds, you know, that should go to executive branch agencies because the executive branch agencies should have wide latitude to decide what to do with these funds. Others say, well, no, you got to specifically mention what's in the law or what's the spending for, to which I always come back to, you know what, by that logic, we shouldn't have an Air Force. because there are no airplanes mentioned in the U.S. Constitution. So, again, people of good faith on either side can argue about this, and we'll definitely have details tomorrow on what they're talking about today. The Vice President, Kamala Harris, is coming back to Milwaukee. Terry, I get the distinct impression Wisconsin is a battleground state.
I guess so. Man, I might have heard a thing or two about this somewhere at some point. But yes, a lot of visits by the Biden administration, really taking advantage of the fact that, the presumptive Republican nominee is tied up in court, most days of the week. So they're out hammering places like Wisconsin hard. The Blue Wall, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. And Vice President Kamala Harris, after the president was in Wisconsin last week, the vice president will be in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee on Thursday. She's going to be talking about the economy, much as the president was last week. And in particular, she's going to be speaking about to Black voters. And this is a key voting bloc for the administration. And ever since Barack Obama's reelection campaign, Black voting in Milwaukee in particular has been on a downward scale. And the administration is trying to court a voting bloc that they need.
It's not helped at all, though, when you have things like the lawsuit announced last week by folks upset that Republicans were trying to interfere with the group Souls to the Polls, which was trying to increase Black voter turnout. You have Robert Spindell, a member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, who at one point bragged about suppressing Black votes in Milwaukee. So some of it is based on genuine issues, others based on the politics, whether you think that politics is above board or not. The fact of the matter is, Terry, that now every constituency, we've talked about suburban women, now we're talking about the communities of color. In a state like Wisconsin, every constituency is a key constituency, and you can't take any of them for granted.
That is for certain. And the vice president's going to be talking about, I believe, many of the same things you just mentioned when she has those conversations.
So a lot of activity last week dealt with what was happening on campuses in Wisconsin and around the country. Primarily based in pro-Palestinian displays against what they saw was a slaughter of civilians in Gaza at the hands of Israeli defense forces, who of course will say they are trying to root out Hamas, defending themselves after the October terrorist attacks. Whatever the situation may be, it was those campus demonstrations that were really a focus last week. And now, in Milwaukee, Madison, and elsewhere, some of them are what, coming to an end or reaching some kind of agreements with administration?
Well, I can speak most clearly about what happened in Madison. And late Friday, the protesters and university administration struck a deal. Probably the main part of that deal is that the UW administrators will facilitate introductions between the protesters and the UW Foundation. And that's an important thing to point out, is that it's not Chancellor Mnuchin who makes decisions about where the university is going to invest its money in order to grow its endowment. Those decisions are made by staff at the foundation. So they're going to get the foundation staff together, or at least key representatives of the foundation, together with the protesters, and maybe talk about divesting from Israeli interests that are profiting from the war.
And then, of course, there is, in this case, a very important fourth thing that you need to know. And that's why for all three of us who seem to have a little bit more gray in our hair than we used to, MTV original VJ Martha Quinn turned 65 yesterday. So our fourth thing to know is, how did that happen?
Kurt Loder turned 78 this year.
No.
Yeah. Kurt Loder, I didn't realize he was a much older gent than the rest of the MTV gang.
Yep. So there you go. That's the end of our McDonald's coffee clutch with three old guys enjoying some senior coffee. Guys, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Enjoy an extra cup of Metamucil on me. That'll do it for this Monday morning. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a digital news outlet from Courier Newsroom. We are a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. You can follow us on social media or sign up for our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Thanks for being here. We'll catch you tomorrow morning up north.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Earl Ingram.
Monday morning, join me as I stroll through memory lane and take in the sounds of the Motor City. It's Motown Mondays.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
If it's your turn to host a game, Grandpa's Barbecue suggests you try something different. Put out the perfect barbecue flavor of Grandpa's Barbecue. Add it to your ribs, dip the meatballs, or drench your wings in the original flavor of Grandpa's Barbecue. It isn't too hot or spicy, fruity or smoky or whatever. Grandpa's Barbecue. Available in select stores and online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app. CB.